11. I want to, I know we normally teach in series around here, and we've got some more things to talk about as we close out this year, but I wanted to, and just felt led to, share a few thoughts with you about thankfulness and Thanksgiving this morning. Sometimes we, you know, preach a Christmas message on Christmas, sometimes not so much, and same with Mother's Day and Father's Day, but I did feel led last night to go a little different direction, and so let's go there together, and let's see what the Lord has to say about giving thanks. Look at me for a moment, though, before I do, okay? The passage that I'm going to read is going to use the expression give thanks, give thanks, give thanks, okay? This phrase translated into the English, give thanks, right? We could have turned to 157 different places to find these same words, okay? That's how many times this particular word is used in the scriptures. So if you see something that repetitive, for example, fear not is 365 times in the scriptures, okay? Somebody said that's one for every day, so I like that, praise God. But when you see something repeated that frequently in the scriptures, your ears should perk up. In other words, you should realize that the Lord is saying something to you over and over again with many different inspired men over the centuries, praise God. And so thankfulness and being thankful and giving thanks and thanksgiving are all very important aspects of a healthy life. Amen. Somebody said it this way one time. Nobody likes an ingrate, right? Or somebody who's not grateful is a bit of a turnoff to all of us. Amen. Amen. That's because gratitude and a thankful heart is something that should be woven into us by God. As men and women who've been born again, our nature should be one of thankfulness and thanksgiving. So this is a rather long psalm, but I want to read it because I want you to see kind of the flow and the rhythm of it. I'll put it up on the screen. So a thankful heart, Psalm 107, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." That'd be a part for you to say so or something, amen. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them." Look at me for a moment. This might help you connect with these passages more personally and individually. Obviously, he's talking about here what God has done for his ancestors, bringing them out of slavery in Egypt. And these things are mentioned. But remember, that's a physical slavery. We've been brought out of a much more severe slavery than that. That's slavery to sin, darkness, death, separated from God with no hope of ever being restored to him. And so as you hear some of these different references about wandering in the wilderness in a desolate way, obviously, we didn't wander in the wilderness between Egypt and Canaan, but you know, we've all, you know, been in places in life where we didn't know what to do next and where to go, and yet he was there for us. Amen. "Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul, and he fills the hungry soul with goodness." Somebody say amen to that. "Those who sat in darkness in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought them down, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them," amen, "and delivered them from their destructions." Let me stop here for a minute. He sent his word and healed them. See, there are people who try to make this mean far less than what it actually means. Did Jesus show us what this meant in his life? when he spoke his word, just speak the word only and my servant will be healed. That's what the centurion said, right? And Jesus spoke that word and said, be it unto you according to your faith. And so the word of God is living and powerful, and his word, the Bible says, is life to those that find it and health to all their flesh. So if you deal with chronic health issues, I would encourage you, increase your ingestion of the word of God. It has healing properties in it for your physical body. So he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men, do you see a theme here? Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like drunken men and are at their wits' end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet, and he guides them to their desired haven. Oh, anybody been guided to your desired haven this morning? Praise God. Isn't it good to be home? Amen. To be in Father's house. Amen. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people, and praise him in the company of the elders. He turns rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He turns a wilderness into pools of water and dry land into water springs. There he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place and sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them and they multiply greatly. And he does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet he sets the poor on high, far from affliction, and makes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Amen. Amen and amen again. I want to talk to you for a minute about this word that's translated into our English, give thanks. It's actually a singular word in the original language, and it's pronounced yada, yada. And it's spelled Y-A-D-A-H, okay, but yada, right? And yada in the original language means more than simply giving thanks. Like so many important things in our walk with God, the enemy and the religious establishment and the world is constantly trying to water things down and make them mean less than they actually mean, with a limited impact of what they should normally have in our lives. And it's only polite. Our parents taught us to say thank you. Amen. Do you remember when you were little and somebody would give you something and your mother would go, what do you say? What do you say? Right? And so we've almost learned to say thank you as a habit. And I'm not saying that's a bad habit. We need more of that in our world today, and parents, especially parents of young children, enforce that in their lives, okay? But giving thanks is more than saying thank you. Giving thanks is more than saying thank you. And I think sometimes, you know, because we say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I'll come off this for a minute and go to something else. We hear Jesus loves you, God loves you, Jesus loves you, God loves you so much that, again, that we can become desensitized to that. We can become almost numb to that. He really, really, really does love you. Amen. He really, really does love you. And I think we say thank you so much and we hear thank you so much, unless you go to Chick-fil-A and they say, my pleasure, right? When you say thank you, praise God. Then it loses its impact. Amen. So certainly, should we say thank you to the Lord? Yes. But giving thanks and saying thanks are two different things. And this word yada, which is translated into our two words in English, give thanks, it's speaking of gratitude expressed through action. Gratitude expressed through action. Are you with me? I'm going to say it again. Gratitude expressed through action. So it's not just saying thank you, but it's doing thank you. Do you understand the difference there, right? Let me again go to Back to the subject of love. When we read that word L-O-V-E in the New Testament, we tend to think of, you know, what love is or what love might mean to us. Without understanding, there's actually four different words with different meanings in the Greek language that are translated into our singular English L-O-V-E. And the one that we most often think of when we hear the word love is the word philo. And the word philo is speaking of warm, fond, affectionate feelings that you may have for another person. When Jesus said, love your enemies, he didn't say, have warm, fond, affectionate feelings for your enemies. He said, agape your enemies, not philo your enemies, but agape. Agape is when we love as an act of the will. It's when we show kindness and mercy to people who haven't earned it or deserved it, just like we didn't earn or deserve the mercy and kindness that God has given to us. So this is the concept of agape. And that one word I want you to think of more than any other word when you hear the word agape is respect. Man, y'all are making me smile from the inside this morning. Respect. So let me tell you a quick story, brief story, okay? I'm in a rotation where I get to preach periodically on Fridays and Sunday evenings at Love Lady Center. And it is a great place. I love to go and minister there. And if you've ever been to the Love Lady, it's the former East End Hospital. And it's multiple floors. And if you can imagine, the main floor is, they've got it set up where their sanctuary is. There's chairs here, and then you go up a floor, and it's open, not as wide as this room, but maybe as wide as this middle section right here. You go up a floor, and there's balcony, which it's hallways, right, to where hospital rooms and all that stuff used to be, and then another one. And so when you preach there, the bottom is, there's 300 women there. I mean, it's a big crowd, okay? And so the bottom floor is full, and then they stand along the rails, and then they stand along, it's like preaching in the Thunderdome, Matt, you know what I'm saying? I mean, and it gets loud in there. I mean, they crank up the worship, man, they're just, you know, just worshiping Jesus and, you know, all this other stuff, right? And so, this particular Sunday evening, I was there, and man, it was revved up. And so they introduced me, and I came up. They're still all revved up. And so I pumped them up a little more. Anybody in here love Jesus? Yeah, we love Jesus. I said, does anybody in here love Jesus? And, you know, and I just getting louder, louder, louder. I said, does anybody in here love Jesus enough to do what he says about sex? And it got quiet, just like it got quiet right there, right? Amen. Amen. Right? Okay, now see, we just went somewhere else, right? We went from philo to agape right there. We went from warm, fond, affectionate feelings for the man upstairs to respect for the one who created us and redeemed our lives from destruction. Okay? So we're talking about giving thanks. We're talking about gratitude expressed through action. This is a verb. Amen. This is a verb. And while saying it is important, and we should, don't misunderstand me, we should, okay? But showing it, doing it, is even more so and more beneficial. Now, you see something here where the psalmist just goes on and on and on and on about, oh, that men would give thanks. Oh, it's almost like he's pleading for people to express their gratitude towards God with the way they live. Amen. Amen. That we wouldn't just say, man, thank you, Jesus, for saving me, but that we would express the gratitude for our salvation in the way that we live. Now, we could go many different places. I'm not here to preach a really long sermon this morning. Matter of fact, I told them in the kitchen a certain target time to be ready so that we can go eat and enjoy a meal together. So obviously we could talk about this for hours and hours. We're not going to do that this morning. But what we see, of course, is that the one he... 1 John chapter 3, he talks about what Jesus has done for us and what's true about us right now because of what he's done for us. And then he goes on to explain the one who has this hope, this confident expectation in themselves will purify their lives even as Christ is pure. So notice that would be gratitude expressed through action, where it's not that we're trying to clean up our lives so we won't go to hell, but we're cleaning up our lives because we understand what Jesus has done for us, and we want to show our appreciation, our gratitude for that by responding to him. So some of you are familiar with, and we're of course very thankful for Brother Kenneth Copeland, and He is wanting to live a very, very long life. He's believing God to live for 120 years. And there's Bible for it. I'm not here to teach on that this morning, okay? And if you, listen, if you rolled your eyes or you had a thought of doubt about that in your heart right now, ask the Lord to forgive you. Amen? I mean that. Ask him to forgive you. If somebody else is believing for something, then you either believe with them or don't think negative about that, right? And he's doing all kinds of things as far as his diet and exercise. And sometimes he don't talk about this publicly, but he'll talk about it at different ministers' conferences and things, kind of a little different atmosphere there. And he was talking about how much he had to change his thought and what he was saying about getting up and exercising. And man, he's like, now I love it. I enjoy it. And he says, you keep saying that, you'll love it and enjoy it. And so the Lord was helping with his attitude about exercising, taking care of his body. And this is what the Lord told him one morning, sweating on that treadmill. Now watch this. He said, I sacrificed my body for yours. Now you're sacrificing your body for mine. Amen. Do you see that right there? Do you see what he's doing right there? What does that mean? He's taking care of himself so he'll be healthy and can continue to minister to the body of Christ. Amen. So Jesus sacrificed his body for you and me. Amen. Do you see? Right? Brother Tom Roberts wrote a song. We haven't sung that one in a long time. You've given your best. I don't know the title of the song, but you just shower sing it, right? I mean, top of your lungs. You've given your best for me. I'll give my best for you. That's, in other words, obviously, him loving us isn't dependent upon you giving your best to him. But that should be what we strive to do, not out of guilt or shame, not trying to compensate for all the wrong that we did, not paying it forward or giving back. No. It's what we should do from a heart of gratitude, where we realize how much he sacrificed for us. These are the things, if you've got unhealthy habits in your life, okay, the more you understand how much Jesus sacrificed for you to be healthy, let that be what motivates you. Let your desire to be in a healthy body and live a healthy lifestyle be motivated, not because, you know, you're afraid of disease. We're not afraid of disease. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But because we want to express our thankfulness. Again, give thanks. The word in the original language is yada, and it means gratitude expressed through action. Now, when he says, oh, that men everywhere would give thanks, he's pleading for people to not just say thank you, but to have this lifestyle that expresses their gratitude to the Lord. If we go forward, and by the way, thankfulness is a learned attitude of the heart. If your heart is truly thankful, then thanksgiving will come out of your mouth. And giving thanks, living thankfully, is evidence of a thankful heart, because what we see is what's in a man comes out of a man or a woman by the words that they speak and by the way that they live their lives. But we looked at this passage a couple of Sundays ago. It's out of Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, I put it on the screen. It says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now, I know some of you weren't here when we talked about this a few Sundays ago, but I want to, if I could, just show you again. To summarize very quickly the book of Romans explains that God created us to live way up here, and we're living way down here. And the book of Romans explains how we went from up here to down here and how to get from down here back up to up here. Okay? Are you with me? And this is where the wheels started to come off. And it's when people knew God perfectly well, because the evidence of him and his eternal being and divine power are in creation all around us. Okay? But where we lost sight of God is when we stopped glorifying him as God. To glorify means to lift to an exalted position. Okay. If you glorify something, you make a big deal out of it. All right. Or we could say it another way. To glorify something is when you give it the place and recognition that it deserves. Honor and glory then are common, connected in that regard. So when men and women quit giving God the place and the recognition that he deserves, this is where the humankind's downward spiral began. And then notice also it says, nor were thankful. Nor were thankful. I believe the reason the Holy Spirit was pleading through the psalmist, oh, that men everywhere would give thanks to the Lord, would express their thankfulness to God in the way they live their lives, is because in so many ways, a thankful heart is what anchors us. Once we stop recognizing God for who he is and who we are in relationship to him, that's worship. Worship is when you recognize who God is and who you are in relationship to him. And then thankfulness, right, is when we express that in the way we live our lives. It's like he's God, we're his children, he's potter, we're clay, he's creator, we're creation. Let me give you the same verse in the Message translation. What happened was this: people knew God perfectly well, but when they didn't treat him like God, refusing to worship him, they trivialized themselves into silliness and confusion so that there was neither sense nor direction left in their lives. Now, this word futile, obviously translated differently in the Message translation, but in Romans 1 and 21 from New King James, it says they became futile in their thoughts. Now, does that sound somewhat familiar to some things we've been talking about off and on all year out of Ephesians chapter 4, where it talks about those with a darkened understanding live from the what? The futility of their own minds. They've disconnected from God, and because of that, they're left to, the, as the Bible says, their own devices, their own best thinking. Are you hearing me? God created you to have more in life than your own best thinking can produce. God created you to live on a higher level than your own best thinking can get you to. Are you hearing me? Amen. He's created you to live at a place in life that you can't get to without him, and you certainly will never get there with the futile thinking of this world. That's how we wound up living far beneath what God intended and desired for us. So what we see then, refusing to be thankful resulted in the loss of focus that led to the downward spiral. Giving thanks is about acknowledging, recognizing, and conscious awareness. Let me say it another way. The less thankful we are, the less aware we are of God in our lives. Now, God's everywhere. Are you hearing me? God's everywhere and he's in everything. The scriptures are clear. Jesus is the glue that holds everything together. Amen. So it's one thing for God to be present, though. We see this in Proverbs, in a form of it, that wisdom is crying out in the street, on the street corner, in the business places, every intersection of your life. The voice of wisdom is crying out to you. The problem is there's so many other voices, we don't know how to hear wisdom. Some of you look like you're getting bored on me. Are you still with me? Amen? All right. I told them a time that is very getting close, okay? Amen. I'm not going to tell you what time I told them. Praise God. All right. I'll deal with you later, Pops, because I know I'm going over. Amen. All right. So the less thankful we are, the less aware we are of God in our lives. Giving thanks to God will open your eyes to see him. Worship then becomes automatic. I like this point right here. A thankful heart is like a gyroscope, keeping us properly focused and oriented in life. Amen. Do you understand how a gyroscope works? I mean, no matter which way you turn it, it keeps it steady and level. And that has everything to do with the attitude of an airplane. Praise the name of the living God. All right. Thank you, Jesus. So this doesn't count for my time. Remember we said we had that issue with the internet? Well, that router's not plugged up, so that wasn't the answer, y'all. Thank you, Jesus. I can finish it here from heart and memory, okay? Thankfulness, to be truly thankful is to be truly humble. Okay? Amen. Are you with me? In other words, you can't be truly thankful and give thanks without recognizing that somebody else has done something for you that you couldn't do yourself. The next one is being thankful helps you stay in faith. Because you can't be truly thankful without focusing on positive things. Are you with me? Are you with me? Now, the last one. When we are truly thankful, thankfulness positions us. Let's go back to that for a moment, okay? We see that 10 lepers cried out to Jesus from a distance for him to have mercy on them. The reason they cried out from a distance is because lepers were not, by the law of Moses, were not allowed to come in contact with people, so they kept their distance. So they cried out to Jesus from a distance. It's a lot of preaching here. We have no record that Jesus was going to find these men. They came to Jesus, cried out from a distance. Jesus cried back to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Now, why is that significant? Well, according to the law of Moses, a leper who had been cleansed of his leprosy had to go to the priest to get a clean bill of health, so to speak, and go through a ritual cleansing, and then could go back into society as one who had been cleansed of their leprosy. But notice now, the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed of the leprosy. What does that mean? It means as they acted in faith on what Jesus said to them. When Jesus said, "Go show yourself to the priest," if they just looked at themselves and said, "We've still got leprosy," right? But no, he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." So it's when they acted on that by faith, that's when they were cleansed of the leprosy. Now, we see that one of the 10, what did he do? He came back, fell at Jesus' feet, worshiped him, and gave thanks. And gave thanks. Now, I want you to see the expression of gratitude here. Jesus, in meeting the one who could cleanse leprosy with a word, actually became more important to him than what Jesus could have or was doing for him. Because it was as he went that he was cleansed. For all he knew, if he stopped going, he wouldn't be cleansed anymore. But that didn't matter. Jesus was more important than anything Jesus could do for him. Do you see the difference there, right? Okay. He falls at Jesus' feet and gives thanks. And Jesus asked the question, "Oh, that men everywhere would give thanks." Now, that's not what he said, but that's at the heart, right? I guarantee this was in Jesus' heart and mind. Jesus said, "Were there not 10 who were cleansed? And only one has come back. Where are the other 9? Where are the other 9? Then Jesus said something to this man that was so amazing. He said, "You go your own way. Your faith has made you whole." Whole. Well, was Jesus violating the law of Moses? He came to fulfill it, not violate it, okay? Why did this man not have to go through the rituals that the other did? Why could this man just go on back to his wife and have supper with his family that night? Not only cleansed of leprosy, but whole. What does that mean? Leprosy is a horrible disease. It would cause people to lose noses, limbs, fingers. In other words, there would have been tremendous evidence, even though they cleansed their leprosy, there would have been tremendous evidence left in those lepers' lives that they had once had leprosy, but were now cleansed of it. Jesus told this man, "You going back to your family right now." Why? Because as one who'd been made whole, there was no evidence remaining that he had ever had leprosy to begin with. Are you seeing this? Okay. What positioned him to receive something from Jesus that the others missed out on? Thankfulness. Thankfulness keeps you in position for what God desires to do next in your life. Amen. Amen. Stand with me. Praise God. Stand with me. I told him 11:45, then I told him 11:35. It's 11:40, so I hit the middle. Amen. Father, you're good to us, and we love you. Help us give thanks, Lord, not just say it, but give it, Lord. A lifestyle, Lord. Lord, gratitude expressed in the things that we do, in the way that we live our lives. Oh, that men everywhere would give thanks, Lord, and recognize all that you've done among the children of men. Father, thank you for the food that's been prepared, for all the precious hands, Lord, that have labored to make this meal possible and prepare it and get it ready. Father, as we go, may our fellowship be as sweet an aroma to you as white chocolate bread pudding is to us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen.